Hello, everybody. This is Kevin Taylor, your usual sidekick for NFL Beyond the Numbers. Vegas Dave is not here today. We have a bonus edition because it is a Super Bowl. Jason Tabries is with me today. He is a Sports Invasion writer, and he's also a diehard 49ers fan. Jason, how are you doing today? Tell me a bit about your past experience with the Niners and how excited you are for this game coming up.
I'm doing good. I've lived through the Tim Rattay era, the Dennis Erickson debacle, Mike Singletary, Giovanni Carmazzi. I'm ready to raise the trophy, the Lombardi Trophy. I'm ready for this. It's been a long ride since the days of Steve Young and Neon Dion in San Francisco. So I'm definitely psyched. That being said, I give a lot of credit to the Ravens. They're a hell of a team. I mean, if the Niners weren't in this game, I'd probably be rooting for the Ravens. It's a great story with Ray Lewis on his last ride. I really respect the hell out of John Harbaugh as a coach, what he's been able to do since he came up from Philadelphia. And Joe Flacco is so underrated.
He really is. There's a lot of really interesting storylines coming into this game, and Joe Flacco is one of them. We can start there. This is a guy who, for years now, not just this past year or so, but for years now, has been telling us that he deserves to be in the elite conversation. It's kind of something we've always passed by, but you can't ignore the fact that he is the only quarterback in NFL history to have playoff wins in his first five seasons. He's taken Baltimore to three AFC championships and now finally the Super Bowl, and he's outplayed Tom Brady in back-to-back AFC championships. You really can't say enough about this guy, and his confidence has to be at an all-time high coming into the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, he's had eight touchdowns, no picks so far in the playoffs this year. He's thrown for, I think it's like 840 yards. He's been the leader that this team needs. Anquan Boldin is firing on all cylinders. You got Ray Rice in the backfield. Dennis Pitt is underrated. The Ravens' offense is definitely something to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I think Flacco is the big part of that. He is the driving force. He's just a strong-arm quarterback. He's a pocket passer. You know, I know we're now in the era of the mobile quarterback, but he's a strong pocket passer. And the one thing I want to say is, you look at Joe Flacco, came out of the University of Delaware. You look at Colin Kaepernick from Nevada, Reno.
Yeah.
Big college, big program quarterbacks are not always the way. I know you're a USC fan. I hate to say it, man, but Mark Sanchez,
the USC quarterbacks.
USC, you got to look beyond just the typical programs now for a quarterback.
They do not have a good history. That is true. We were talking a bit before about the podcast that me and Dave did, and I think when we were talking about it, the theme, if you will, of the overarching theme of it, for me at least, throughout the podcast, we were talking about how it's interesting that both these teams are going up against opponents that are unlike who they've played so far in the playoffs. You look at the Ravens and the matchup that they've had, they've really played the same team kind of three times in a row. Teams that are led by great pocket passers, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. Fast-paced offenses that spread it out, guys who stay in the pocket. And then on defense, not necessarily physical defenses, more so trying to outrun them. You kind of had that with Denver. Now with Baltimore going up against San Francisco, not only do you have a mobile quarterback in Colin Kaepernick, who the Ravens have yet to play against for a while. They struggled in the regular season, went 0-2 against RG3 for the Redskins, Michael Vick for the Eagles. So you have that aspect of it. And then you also have the 49ers defense, which, as we both know, is full of playmakers who will get in your face and get tough. So how do you think the Ravens are going to be able to adjust, and how they need to adjust to guys like Kaepernick and this defense, things they haven't seen so far in the playoffs?
Well, with regards to the Niners offense, the concerns are Colin Kaepernick is still young. This is his, ninth start or tenth start of his
career? Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yes, he's handled the pressure so far. He's played great in the postseason. He had a great game against Atlanta, led the team back. But it's a bigger stage. It's a different stage now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that wild card that maybe Colin Kaepernick struggles. But I think it's going to be hard for the Ravens defense. It's an older defense in some parts. You know, the anchors with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, 34-year-old Ed Reed, 37-year-old Ray Lewis, 30-year-old Terrell Suggs. They got Paul Kruger. They got some great performers, the kind of guys that you don't know about, like Kerry Williams has had a great postseason.
Mm-hmm. Bernard Pollard's been great.
Bernard Pollard, yeah, exactly. They've got some great names on defense, but I think the big key for the 49ers is going to be Vernon Davis. I think he's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
He had a huge game against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Crabtree's kind of been the target for Kaepernick since he got the starting gig.
Yeah.
But
I want to talk about that a bit since you are a big Niners fan. Crabtree is a guy who, for the past few years now, I've kind of had a running joke with, if you will, that this guy had such good potential at Texas Tech. We know the big plays he made there, the big play against Texas to beat them. was a star coming into the NFL and really just didn't do anything in San Francisco. Wasn't absolutely terrible that he was a complete bust, but just really didn't make any plays with Alex Smith in the big picture. Now with Colin Kaepernick, he's really emerged as a guy who gets 8 to 9 receptions a game, 100 yards, a touchdown or two. Talk about Michael Crabtree and how amazing he's been with Kaepernick and how exciting, because they're both very young still.
Well, I think Crabtree's first season was basically lost. You know, you had him coming in and there was the holdout issue. He's had some injury issues. The second season, no training camp because of the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had a hard time getting a good start of it. It's kind of like the Alex Smith thing. When he started, he'd gone through so many different coordinators. Sometimes these young players are affected by things that don't really have an effect on them, although granted the holdout was Crabtree's doing. But
yeah.
I think he's just finally coming into his own at the right time. I think it's more of a coincidence. But yeah, Kaepernick is definitely looking for him across the field. He's the first option for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy can do things with the ball. He can do things after the catch. So one thing San Francisco 49ers can do is they can make plays, pass the line, pass when they get their hands on the ball. There's mm-hmm. a lot of yakking going on in San Francisco. I think Crabtree's a big part of that. I think Randy Moss is probably the effect of Randy Moss.
Who's had a bit of a resurgence in the playoffs as well, compared to his regular season production.
Yeah, and I think Randy Moss has had an impact on him as well, just uh-huh. being there and being able to show him the ropes, maybe show him a few things. I don't know how much Randy Moss has taken him under his wing, but
yeah.
There's definitely been an effect, so you can say that presence has helped. But it's just a confidence thing. Colin Kaepernick has the confidence to make more throws than Alex Smith does.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Alex Smith is a very efficient quarterback, but Alex Smith didn't take as many risks as Kaepernick does.
Yeah, and especially when you look at the high-scoring games that the Niners had to play against the Falcons and the Packers, you don't have a ton of confidence in Alex Smith to put up the kind of points that Kaepernick has been, which is why Harbaugh made the move. So now we can switch a bit to San Francisco. I mentioned before that it was an overarching theme of new things that you faced, and the same applies to San Francisco. Let's talk about that. San Francisco now, the two games they played, they went against high-powered offenses, and their defense was able to contain them. You know, the passing defense was a little rough, but the running defense was always there. But they never really had to go up against a dominant running back. You know, the Packers can't have a running back. They can't find a running back to save their lives. And Michael Turner just isn't who he used to be a few years ago. Teams that rely on the pass. For Baltimore, of course, you have Ray Rice, a guy who sometimes gets forgotten, but when he's in there, he always makes plays for them. So the Niners have to deal with the running back for the first time in a few games. And then also on the defensive side, the Packers and both the Falcons, neither one of them known for their defense. In fact, that's their weakness. With the Ravens, they have the strong physical defense, the one that wears you down as much as they did against New England. So now talk about that for San Francisco. They also have to adjust now to things they haven't seen, the running game and the in-your-face defense. Talk about that.
Well, Ray Rice scares me. I think he's going to have a solid game. Also, his backup, whose name I can't recall for some reason, is it Brown Pierce?
Yes, it is.
The rookie.
They've been using him a lot.
Yeah. The running game for Baltimore is definitely a concern. The passing game as well. Atlanta's offense was more, I got to just address it. San Francisco's defense, though, has not been, it's a big concern. San Francisco's defense has not been, has not lived up to its reputation. They kind of looked a little tired. Justin Smith's a little battered. Him being not at full at 100%. It's affecting Alden Smith's ability mm-hmm. to break into the pocket and wreak some havoc. And if Joe Flacco gets time, I mean, the first half of the NFC Championship game, Matt Ryan had all the time in the world to make all the plays he needed to. And he just was throwing it in there to Julio Jones. It was like he was playing catch with the man.
Yeah.
That's a concern. The Niners kind of stepped it up in the second half. They've had an extra week off. I'm sure that helped.
Mm-hmm.
And their secondary is solid, but they're stronger up the middle. Which is why I think if Ray Rice breaks through that line, I don't see any kind of big plays happening because the Niners have such a great linebacking core and they have great safeties in Whitner and Golson.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not necessarily worried about the Niners' passing defense per se. It kind of reminds me a lot of last year, me and Dave, whenever we would talk about the Packers, you know, when they were 15-1, we'd always talk about how statistically their defense was one of the worst, but we kind of always brushed that aside because that was mainly based on yardage and the fact that Green Bay was always up. So the defense, they always had to defend the pass, so teams were just racking up passing yards in the fourth quarter. I kind of felt that was a bit of a way with the Niners, where it was a shootout in both games and just both offenses are built vertically down the field with Atlanta and with Green Bay. So, you know, the reason that they gave up so many points and so many yards is just because that is exactly what that team's forte is. Baltimore's capable of doing that, but they have a more balanced attack with the run and short passes, and I actually think that fits into the 49ers' defensive game plan a little more.
Yeah, I agree with that. Again, like you said, they have the ability to do that, but I'm not as afraid of the Baltimore receivers as I was of the Atlanta receivers.
Sure. Yeah, Torrey Smith is a big play threat down the end, but he's no Julio Jones, so you don't really have to worry about that. One thing that we have to, of course, talk about is the Harbaughs, you know, facing off against each other, and I'm not necessarily going to go into which coach you like more, who you like more, but we have to talk about...
I like John more, actually.
I would say...
Jim's my guy. I like his temperament better. Jim Harbaugh...
Yeah. He can get a little emotional.
It's a little too much.
To say the least. But, you know, I've said this before the playoffs, and, of course, they just proved it, you know, time and time again. There are few coaches in the NFL, if any off the top of my head I can think of, that are better at adjusting at halftime. These playoffs showed that, where you have the 49ers in their two playoff games allowed seven second-half points combined to the Packers and to the Falcons. Shut out the Falcons, the Packers got one late touchdown. You look at the Ravens shutting out the Patriots in the second half in New England. Talk about these teams' halftime adjustments, and it's going to be funny. Do you give one coach a slight edge because both of them are going to be making the adjustments, of course, at halftime? In the second half, who do you think might have a slighter edge, even though they're both obviously very well capable of doing it?
I think part of the problem for San Francisco, and I've seen them more, so I'll start with them. I think part of the problem for San Francisco is it seems like they start these games with a bit more of a conservative game plan, trying to start slow. And in the second half, it seems like they kind of cut Colin Kaepernick loose a little. They got to let him just play his game. And the kid has this that indefinable thing, that way about him where even when the 49ers are down two touchdowns going into the half, I'm not concerned because he has the ability to take over a game.
Yeah.
Unlike any quarterback I've seen in San Francisco in a long, long, long time. He's a run threat, he's a pass threat, and I really think he can take over games. So I don't know if it's so much the adjustments as just letting Colin Kaepernick kind of do his thing and not worry so much about the defensive game plan. As far as Baltimore's ability, it's a lot of heart going on in Baltimore now. You know, you can't deny that the whole Ray Lewis last ride thing is going to weigh on them.
Absolutely.
If they need to find a second gear in the second half, I think that's going to be a part of it. So I know I really didn't answer your question about coaching adjustments, but I think on the field, it's going to matter more on the field what the players do than what the coaches do in the locker room. But I think, yeah, both coaches are stellar coaches, stellar motivators. Their teams are willing to walk through walls for them. So I think it's kind of a push there if you compare the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Different styles, but both, you know, equally good. Both guys have done great things since they've gotten into those programs. Specifically Harbaugh, who really has a way. He brought over the right coordinators. What can you say about Fangio and Roman?
Yeah, definitely. I agree
with
you.
Let me, real quick, if I can.
Yeah, please.
One thing I do want to say about these two coaches, the guts on them for Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. Sitting down, the quarterback who was leading the league in quarterback efficiency, an extremely accurate quarterback, a dependable quarterback in Alex Smith, what he had become under Harbaugh, sat him down and went with Kaepernick. It was the right decision, obviously, because it gives the offense another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Harbaugh getting rid of Cam Cameron in the middle of the season and bringing in Jim Harbaugh.
Bringing in a new offense,
again,
yep.
The guts that takes to do that in the middle of the season, to bring in a new coordinator to say, this isn't working, we need to change gears, that's an impressive thing about both these coaches. They both made huge decisions in the middle of the season, and they've been rewarded for it.
Yeah, the decision to change to Colin Kaepernick was obviously the biggest decision of the year, I think, considering the Niners are in the Super Bowl now. And it's one that during the season I really didn't have a strong feeling towards. I think it divided a lot of people, but I just kind of saw the pros and cons of both. But now that the Niners are here and you look at the games they played and how those games went down, I don't think there's any question that Colin Kaepernick was the right guy to go with.
You know, it kind of felt like the Niners were trying to run out the clock when Alex Smith was the quarterback. They were trying to just control the ball and just play smart. And with Colin Kaepernick, it just feels like it's more aggressive. It feels like their destiny is in their own hands.
Definitely. And, you know, you brought up, of course, the Ray Lewis retirement storyline, and we have to talk about this Ravens defense. For so many years, dating back to their Super Bowl run, the Ravens have been all about a defensive team that runs the ball, and the offense is more of a game-managing type thing. And that's what Joe Flacco was when he first started out. He was a game manager, has obviously evolved into a playmaking quarterback and one of the best in the game right now. But this defense has had a resurgence, as you mentioned before. You look at the games they played, 9 points to Indianapolis. They only allowed 21 to Denver. I know Denver scored 35, but they were on two special teams touchdowns. So 21 to Denver, and then 13 to New England. The Colts offense is up and coming, but there's no question that Denver and New England are two of the top three, four, if not the top two offenses. And the fact that the Ravens have been able to shut them down so much is really a testament to the heart of the defense, and these guys, so many are battling injuries right now, but it's almost like they think it's their last ride, and in a lot of sense, I think it is for a lot of these veteran guys. Ray Lewis is going, Ed Reed is probably out the door in a year or two, T. Suggs is going through some serious injuries. This could be the last chance for the Ravens, this team, right now, and I think they know that.
Yeah, I think Baltimore's defense is definitely something to be afraid of, but I am not as afraid of them as I've been in the past. They, as you said, they're older, transition is nearing. I just don't think they can keep up with the San Francisco 49ers offense. I think the Niners offense is just, it's too diverse, too many options on the run. You got LaMichael James as a change of pace back. Frank Gore is going to be so huge for the 49ers.
Sure.
Run right up the middle. I know he's going to have a big game. I don't think that the Ravens defense can keep up with the 49ers.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm really glad that you brought up Frank Gore, because that's one of the things we talked about, how this, another one of the, again, the things of, you know, seeing something new so far in the playoffs. The Ravens have yet to play a really good running back. Stephen Ridley is probably the best one they've played so far, and he's used sparingly with that New England offense. This is the first time in these playoffs that the Ravens are having to deal with a legitimate running game, a team that tries to establish the run first. And statistically, Baltimore was 20th against the run. So I agree with you completely. I expect Frank Gore to be the center of that running game, and I think he's going to be a huge factor in this game.
And also Kaepernick, which...
Oh, absolutely.
He kind of parked it against Atlanta. He ran wild against Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always a threat that he can do that. It's something that Baltimore's... Even if he doesn't do it, Baltimore's going to have to keep an eye on him the entire game. So it's a big part of why I give the edge to the 49ers. The fact that they've got this running game at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Ravens defense is not what it used to be. I think a couple of years ago, maybe they'd be able to keep up, but I just think it's going to be moved too fast. 49ers just have too much speed. There are too many options. The Ravens, a great theme. And as I said, the Ray Lewis factor can't be ignored,
mm-hmm.
as far as what they're going to do for this guy, how hard they're going to play, but I just don't think it's going to be enough.
One comparison that we made earlier, and I want to bring it back up. We were talking about how the 49ers, you know, could potentially struggle against the fact that they have Ray Rice, the running back, and also the in-your-face defense for the first time in a while. The last time that the Ravens faced a team that had a strong running back and a strong defense was that Seattle game, and I'm sure you remember what happened there. Seattle absolutely destroyed San Francisco. There's some similarities with Baltimore. Of course, Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco are different quarterbacks, and so a lot of the points came from there. But the running game is there, and the in-your-face corner play and linebacking play. So the Ravens, I'm sure, are probably going to look at a lot of the footage from that Seattle game. Do you see any comparisons between Baltimore and Seattle, and is that a game that you might look back on with concern and think maybe the Ravens are going to use some of that in their game plan?
That's a game I try not to think about the best I can, honestly. The 49ers did get dominated a couple times this year. That certainly did happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's undeniable. But I don't see any kind of comparisons between Seattle and Baltimore. I mean, yeah, it's a strong running game, but the Russell Wilson factor can't be. Joe Flacco is not a threat outside the pocket. He's sitting target back there. The Ravens' offensive line, they like to talk it up. Secret Service, they call it.
Yeah.
It's not that impressive to me. On the opposite side of the ball, the San Francisco offensive line is one of the top three or four offensive lines in football right now.
Yeah.
You've got that kind of thing going on. That's another reason why Frank Gore is going to go crazy. Baltimore's offensive line doesn't scare me. If Alden Smith can do what Alden Smith can do, if he can get in there and just terrorize the Ravens, then it's not going to matter their strong running game. The Joe Flacco is not going to be. It's going to throw off Joe Flacco's game. And again, he can't escape. He's sitting up. He's waiting there.
Yeah.
If the defensive line's able to collapse that offensive line. Yeah, that's the big difference between playing a Russell Wilson and playing against a Joe Flacco. Let me tell you, I was scared of Seattle. The only team in the playoffs on the NFC side of the ball that I was afraid of was Seattle.
They almost got through it, too. Atlanta barely held on, and that was a travesty of an end.
If it was Atlanta or Seattle, I was really rooting for Atlanta. And,
sure.
Not to downplay their season, but they were just not as scary. Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. Russell Wilson and Kaepernick right now. It's a great future in the NFL with them and Robert Griffin.
It definitely is. And it's funny that you mentioned the future, because that's actually going to lead into my last thought. Kind of necessarily in the game, but looking forward. So I'll ask that, and then we can, if you have anything that you want to mention or bring up or talk about, we'll do that, and then we can get to our final prediction. So my thought was, as soon as I saw how good San Francisco looked, in the second half, you know, leading into this game and just on paper, how dominant they've looked, how young they are. We mentioned before that I think this is probably Baltimore's last chance, at least with this core. They might make a Super Bowl a few years down the road because they have some young talent. But these guys at the top, this is probably their last shot. I went so far as to say that outside of this Super Bowl, looking forward to next year, I think there's a very good chance that the 49ers make three of the next five Super Bowls. I think that they have that young talent, and they're so aggressive, and they're so well-coached, and if they can keep this core right here, I think they can make three of the next five Super Bowls, probably win a couple. They might lose one. But what are your thoughts on that? Because you look at the NFC, and you know I love Green Bay, but until they bring in a legitimate running back, I don't think they're going to make it back to the Super Bowl. The Saints can emerge back with Sean Payton, but they just have a lot of issues on defense they need to deal with. The Giants every other year are going to scare you. RG3 has his knee hurt. I actually think, and we talked about this, and you can elaborate on if you like, that Seattle, I agree with you, I think might be the biggest threat to San Francisco in the next few years just because they do play him twice. What are your thoughts on the future of the Niners? Is three out of five Super Bowls unreasonable? I know as a fan you're probably biased towards thinking yes, but objectively, do you think that they could definitely pull it together even though the NFC is so stacked?
No, I don't, actually. I think there's a chance to get back. There's a chance to get back with that much consistency. I think it's hard. The league changes so much from year to year. I think the Saints, in particular, you make a point, yeah, they're going to rise up a little bit, but they're also going to be able to retool a little bit with the draft this year.
Sure.
So I think the Saints are going to be really dangerous next year, and probably the season after that, although, you know, Drew Brees is going to run out of, he's getting
energy at some point.
Atlanta is a concern with Matt Ryan and his receivers. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to work on being a running game and showing up some holes in their defense.
Sure.
Green Bay, running game, they're going through some transitions at the wide receiver position. They've got Aaron Rodgers to build on, so they're going to be somewhat dangerous. The Giants, the Giants never impressed me on paper, and yet they always seem to be a thorn in the side. I absolutely freaking hate the Giants. I'm sorry, I can't. Can't deny it. Leonard Marshall broke Joe Montana in half. I'll never forgive him. But Seattle, yeah, Seattle's a threat. I think Washington is a team with the RG3 situation. When is he going to be back?
Yeah.
It all kind of hinges on that. The big team that's the big questions with regard to San Francisco, and this is kind of an out of left field thing, but the way Alden Smith has performed in the week since Justin Smith had his injury,
mm-hmm.
it kind of shows me that right now he's not ready to be. He needs a strong second defensive end.
And okay.
Justin Smith's getting older. That's going to be a concern for San Francisco. How they draft over the next year is going to determine how well they play. When you're when you're picking 30 to 31st in the round, you've got to really be able to find some smart picks. They got some great picks. Kendall Hunter worked for them last year. Well, Michael mm-hmm. James is a late draft pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Kaepernick is a second round draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, they've been able to find some tools later in the draft, not just relying on first round picks, but they're going to have to do that. The good thing they have going for them is the offensive line is extremely talented and also extremely young.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Crabtree, Manningham, when he's healthy, probably pick up another receiver in the draft, in the middle of the draft, since A.J. Jenkins seems like an outright bust.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Frank Gore
has plenty of years left, yeah.
So, but you got Kendall Hunter coming back next year, hopefully. You got LaMichael James. So, there's definitely the potential for this to be the start of a dynasty, but I can't say three out of five Super Bowls. That just seems like wishful thinking for me. I don't want to say that.
It is pretty bold, and the NFC, we talked all year about how it was better than the AFC for sure and just more stacked. But I kind of just see in the NFC, it just kind of seems like the hottest team in January for the last 2 years, I think, has made the Super Bowl. Not necessarily. I think San Francisco is probably playing better than anybody. I actually thought Green Bay was the best team coming in this year, and they really disappointed me, especially with the second half. They were there for the first half of that game, but I was disappointed with that. But I just don't see. And there's talks of the Packers getting Steven Jackson. And I think if they can get him and fill some holes in their defense, then I still love them with Aaron Rodgers so young. But with Kaepernick at 25, and, you know, I think the stars of San Francisco are all not necessarily either in their prime or just coming down from their prime and still have some great shots. And Vernon Davis has reformed himself, Michael Crabtree, these guys. I just love the weapons that San Francisco has. I think that they have a bright future ahead of them, and this could be the start, I think, of what could be a two or three winning Super Bowls in the next few years. I just think they're just a fantastic team.
Well, from your lips to God's ears. So you're giving the 49ers a Super Bowl, then, I assume?
Yeah, you know, the whole time I thought the Niners would win. I'm still pulling for Baltimore. I'm not exactly sure. I just kind of hope it's a good game. And more than anything, what's nice about this one is you know, most of the time in years past, I'm rooting against someone in the Super Bowl just because I don't, you know, like the, I don't want the Patriots to win again or the Steelers to win again, something like that. So I'll pull for that team. This year, I don't mind who wins. I think as long as it's a good game, I don't really care. I think I'm slightly more pulling towards Baltimore for the Ray Lewis factor, and because, like I said, I think San Francisco will be back here again. But as long as it's a good game, I'm going to be happy. I'm looking in the area. 30-21 is what I've been saying for San Francisco, so I'm going to give them the 9-point win. 30-21, I think the Niners win the Super Bowl.
I'm going 31-24 Niners. As I said, I just think the speed of the 49ers, the speed and the multifaceted approach that San Francisco brings on offense, I just think it's going to knock down the Ravens. Although I think the Ravens are going to make it a game, I think they're definitely going to frustrate the 49ers defense. But
sure.
I think on 31-24 is my my pick, and I'm dancing Super Bowl Sunday is all I can say.
Well, I hope you do. When the Saints won a couple years ago, it was one of the better nights in recent memory for me because I'm a very big Saints fan. So I wish that everybody gets to feel their team winning the big dance one time. It's really quite experience. But Jason, thank you so much for joining me. It was great to have you on. We'll have to do some more of these down the road. I know Jason wants to do a baseball podcast at some point. We're going to try to maybe get him a podcast partner. Unfortunately, I will not be the person to talk to about the baseball podcast. But Jason, hopefully we can get you on board to do something with someone on that one.
Definitely look forward to it. And thanks for listening, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, absolutely. And you can catch this on sportsinvasion.net, all things else sports. Jason and I write on that all the time, so enjoy it. Thank you for joining us all season long. For Jason, for Vegas Dave, I am Kevin Taylor. Enjoy the Super Bowl, guys.